I love that you guys kind of make fun of yourselves and saying, yeah, our camera work isn't that great, and you can see the microphone. So it doesn't have like a, oh, this is a documentary, like polished feel. So was that intentional?
The shoddy camera work. I would like to say yes, just to save face. It's my auteur style, but unfortunately, Ruby would call me out. No, it was not intentional, and it kind of tells you that the film was not really intentional to be, like Ruby said, so intimate. I think we both really felt like we were going to make something. After the trip to India, we would come back and kind of make something more professional, like the Michael Moore, Morgan Spurlock thing, and kind of get a cameraman and all that stuff. But as we're on this trip, it just was organic that it was already happening, And when we started embracing the fact that there was something beautiful in all of this raw footage that had a camera in it, most, I mean, had a microphone in it the whole time and was out of focus and everything. We just stuck with it. And we were in the editing room, and of course I was kicking myself the whole time, because I hated the footage so much, but the content kind of spoke for itself. But we were in the editing room, and one of the editors, Matt Hamacek, he said to us, he's like, guys, we've got to do something about the fact that the footage looks the way it does. Like, it's so obvious, and I can't correct this. Like, because he was like, trying to cut the microphone out and trying to cut out all the shots where it was totally out of focus, and like he was trying to spin the shot so they weren't so, tilted. And he finally just threw up his hands. And so I believe it was his idea where he was like, let's just call ourselves out. And that's where that line came from in the beginning, is he's like, Ruby, just say it as it is. And it
No, I
saved
think
us.
you were the only one who wanted to take it out, actually. I was the one who was advocating to keep it in because I was talking about Arrested Development. Do you remember this at all?
No.
It's about Arrested Development. Like, the whole comedy in Arrested Development is like that they kind of say what it is. And that was when, like in the movie when you're watching it, Pulp Lizard, I already forgot your real name. What is your
Liz
real
is fine.
That makes
My name is not important.
yeah. Anyway, Pulp Lizard. What else? like where it says microphone and there's that arrow going up and it says microphone. Like that was kind of a tip to Arrested Development.
Yeah, Ruby talked about Arrested Development constantly during this. So he, yeah, that I do remember now.
But yeah, I mean, to get this point, we tried to run away from it for a while, and a lot of people kind of were advising us to do so. And I think our decision to acknowledge the microphone represents an even bigger step that we took in the film, which is just leaning into its essence as opposed to trying to make it something else.
And also, I remember like people told us, you guys are making a mistake. If you show this footage, it's definitely going to be unwatchable. And then even when we finished the film, I remember, getting the feedback of, it's never going to last in theaters because it's so, scratchy. And I think at that point had fallen in love with it ourselves. Like we really, really felt like the home video quality actually was its charm, was its grace. All the stumbling was, beautiful. So it's been really exciting to actually kind of share it with everyone and kind of realize that.
Well, and then you have the added element of the animation, which I think is totally brilliant because it's unique. I mean, not a lot of people do that, especially in documentaries. When did you guys decide that, hey, we want to add this element to the storytelling?
It was an evolving process because it came out of a problem, actually. It came out of a limitation in the filmmaking. We decided pretty early on that we were not going to film the most sensitive moments of the film, meaning we were not going to film the plot points, which some people would say makes us really bad filmmakers. I mean, literally, like, as you can see, the animation comes in at very, very important moments in the film that turn the film, right? Mm-hmm. And the reason is that we didn't want to put a camera in our mom or dad's face when we were telling them something really emotional. We just felt like that's not really how you treat someone you love, you know? And with reality television, people are very, very used to that, actually. They're used to people, you know, someone's crying and the camera's on. And someone's, you know, getting some really bad news and you put the camera on. But we couldn't do that. And we were really stifled by it. Like, we were like, okay, should we just not make this film? Because clearly there's not going to really be a film. And then we thought, you know what? It's definitely who we are that we're not going to film our parents during these moments. Like, family's always going to come before the film. But what if we somehow relay the story of those moments in a different way that you don't miss being there? And so one of the things that went into the many, many years that went into making this film, like, you know, six-ish, maybe a little bit more years, was actually finding the right way to tell the story in those moments, you know, and making it just as powerful, if not more powerful, than if you were there. And we went through, before we got to animation, we went through Ruby doing, what did you do, Ruby? You did like Seinfeld stand up. Mm-hmm. What else did we do?
We did the Woody Allen thing. Like, where I'm doing like monologues to camera.
Monologues.
And then we did the Whiteside shoot, which is a big waste of money.
Yeah, 3-day Whiteside shoot. That's kind of like the Geico commercial, you know, where we had experts. We had a
paper. You know, like the big white background is what she means. Yeah.
Wow.
And we had like a full crew and all these experts that we brought in, like, you know, psychologists and people like that, and we had like an intellectual angle. And in the end, none of that worked. What we really ended up focusing on is we love radio. We love, you know, This American Life. We love podcasts. Mm-hmm. And we felt like radio was so much more visual than even visuals, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. There's something so visceral and palpable about someone who tells a story very well. And so then we decided we were going to actually just, you know, Ruby conveniently is a really great storyteller. It's, you know, since he was a little kid, that was his thing. So we felt like, okay, let's focus on telling the story really well. And so we did radio cuts of those sections that you see now that are animated. Mm-hmm. And we spent tons of time just making sure that those radio cuts, you could close your eyes and see the story. And you didn't need any visuals. And then only then did we actually go into animation, which actually took a really long time. You know, the animation itself, we went through so many animators. I can't remember how many. But that was a whole process creatively, is finding the right look of that animation so it would fit with the raw, scratchy footage. Mm-hmm. And at some point, Ruby and I were doing like a test screen, like a rough cut screening. And we had the storyboards in the film and just some scratchy stuff. Cause you know, that's the pipeline process of animating, is like, mm-hmm. first you sort of draw it and then you fill it out more. And then finally you're at the end stages. Right. And you've got your solid lines and you've got your coloring in and stuff like that. And so we were in the beginning stages of working with the animator and we had like these rough sketches in and we were both like, oh my God, that's it right there. Like, stop the press. And so we told the animator and he freaked out. We actually, I can't remember if he quit or we had to let him go, but like he was like, no, I can't do this. Like, it makes me look bad. And then we ended up going to other animators to finish the whole thing.
It sounds like a very painful process.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it was, but it's exploratory and it was like a puzzle, because I think Rev and I, for whatever, we were just talking about this recently. I think we both had so much faith in the end product, even though we couldn't figure out how to get there. We knew, we could almost feel it, you know, both of us. we just didn't know how to bring it to life. And so it was really motivating because we both believed in it so much.